Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse number 10. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10. It says, as Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in this wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward, but you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them, and so I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and his chariot drivers. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his chariot drivers. 400 years. Now, let me emphasize that. Take the UR off of that. 400 years. I need you, church, to see the blood and the sweat and the tears of Jacob's descendants. They came to Egypt to receive relief from a famine. But that was years ago. The new king in Egypt is not concerned with a food assistance program. He has grown paranoid because these Israelites are baby-making machines. That's what he said. It's in Hebrew, but he said, baby-making, there are too many of them. They're multiplying, and he became paranoid. He says, if they grow any bigger, they will become a threat to Egypt. So put them in the fields, work them hard. We'll rob them of their identity, we'll burden them, we'll push them, we'll crush them. We'll make it so they won't want to exist. And after so many years of oppression, Israel began to cry. They begin to cry out to Yahweh, Jehovah. They begin to cry out to the Lord, help us. Get us out of here. Free us from the burden of this slavery. And the Lord sees their pain and hears their cries. Jehovah responds by saying, I have seen the misery of my people, and I am about to liberate or free my people. We love freedom. This is a repetitive refrain repeated by those of us who have the privilege of living in a free nation. But tragically for some, freedom is an elusive reality. They are stuck. They are trapped in. They are locked up. And they don't know how they will experience freedom ever again. Last year, this was certainly the reality of 166 people. Those 166 people were those who were incarcerated on felonies that they did not commit. But due to new evidence and the opportunity for their cases to be relitigated on appeal, they were released. In 1975, there was a 19-year-old Ricky Jackson who was arrested and tried for murder. He was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. In fact, he was sentenced to the electric chair. Ricky has spent 39 years in prison and never relenting from maintaining his innocence. In 2014, the young man upon whom the prosecutor's case was built came forward and confessed that the police coerced him to point out Ricky Jackson and make a false accusation. At age 58 years old, Ricky Jackson is a free man, thanks to the Innocence Project. And while in prison, there was bitterness, there was blood, there was sweat, and there were tears. But on the day he was released, there was overwhelming joy. There was refreshment. There was jubilation because we love freedom. I'll never forget watching Ricky's smiling face and tearful eyes of relief as he exited that courtroom as a free man. He gave a shout of praise because he was free. Let's look at Ricky's story. Let's take a look at this 2-3
minute clip. May 19, 1975, a money order salesman was accosted and subsequently robbed by three black men in a convenience store in my neighborhood. One of the assailants proceeded to shoot the victim twice, but she expired from his wounds. Fast forward, May 25th, I was 18 at the time. Just as I was settling in for the night, I heard a lot of ruckus on the front porch. Before I could get any sense of what was going on, the front door was kicked in. I saw flashlights, shotguns, handguns, and a lot of police. They grabbed me off the couch, slammed me to the floor, and cuffed me. Took us downtown and proceeded with an interrogation. I told the police that I knew nothing about this crime. We were totally innocent. They had a written statement they tried to get me to sign. I was physically beaten up by the police, all in the course of trying to get me to confess to something I know we had no part in. We learned that a young boy that lived in our neighborhood went to police and reportedly said that he had witnessed this crime. And these assailants were myself and my two friends. For whatever reason, everybody else, testimony, witness accounts, just seemed to vanish. Eventually, we were all found guilty of capital murder and sentenced to die in Ohio's electric chair. To be sent to prison for something you didn't do, I mean, it's so indescribable. And you have to fight every day to maintain the person that you are. And that's something my mom always told me. She said, you went in as Ricky Jackson, and that's how you have to come out. Don't let them turn you into a prisoner. When guys get phone calls in prison, it's usually bad. So I got the phone call that day, and I wasn't expecting it to be my mother. The thing that hurt me about that most is not that she was passed and I knew she was sick, it's that I couldn't cry.
I couldn't even grieve for my mother because they had made me so callous and heartless.
I couldn't even cry for her, and I tried so hard, but I couldn't. People have forgot about us. They forgot about this case. It was almost 40 years ago. But the people, the Ohio Innocence Project, they didn't leave no stone unturned. And the person that put us in prison is now a middle-aged man. We had made some contact with a local writer. He tracked this guy down, and he told the truth. On November the 24th, I was released and found to be totally innocent. After 39 years, I was finally able to walk out. I was just fine. It was cold, it was crisp, but it felt so good out there. Stepping on the courthouse steps, a free man.
I just want you to gaze upon that look. Church, that's freedom. After being oppressed, after being in prison, after being locked up, after being trapped in, the feeling of being free. We love freedom. For people of faith, our love of freedom may be rooted in the story of the Exodus, the seminal event in the life of Israel and its spiritual descendants, that's us, the church. You see, in the story of the Exodus, we are revealed to be a people who have propensities to being oppressed, to being enslaved. Some of us in here know the feeling of being stuck and being trapped in and being locked up or being addicted and being oppressed. And like Israel, we cry out. We cry out to the Lord for relief. We cry out for rescue. And the story of Exodus is a story where the Lord is revealed to be a leader. He's revealed to be a deliverer. He's revealed to be a protector and a fighter for Israel. And we find ourselves needing, like Israel, we find ourselves needing a leader to lead us to the bliss of the promised land. We find ourselves needing a deliverer to free us from our own oppressive devices. We find ourselves needing a protector to protect us from the evil that is in that's in constant pursuit of us. We find ourselves needing a fighter that will fight the battles that we are powerless to defeat ourselves. Yes, the Exodus is the revelation that God is the liberator and he has the power to free us and lead us and deliver us and protect us and fight for us. He is, as the meaning of Exodus will reveal to us, Exodus means the way out. So he is our way out of sin. He is our way out of addiction. He is our way out of death. He is our way out of oppression. He is our way out of the traps and the messes that we get ourselves into. But the freedom story in our text highlights the tension in our human condition. Because even after the Lord displayed his miraculous might over and over in the story of the Exodus, the people who love freedom, because Israel loved freedom just like we love freedom, just like Ricky Jackson loves freedom, they are prone to want to return to slavery. Did you hear that in the story? Like, why did you take us out of Egypt? It would have been better for us to go back and be enslaved. And the human condition is one that oftentimes we think about. We're living in freedom, but we think about going back and living in the oppression. Israel finds itself between a rock and a hard place. They are at the shores of the Red Sea on one side, and the magnificent fighting machine, that Egyptian army is behind them, and they are closing in. They yell at Moses, the Israelites do, the servant leader of Israel. Why have you brought us out here to die? We could have stayed in Egypt. What? Stayed in Egypt? They were ready to go back and live in slavery. Church, sadly, we are prone to want to return to the very oppression that we were delivered from. I have spoken on many occasions about my association with Summer Raise, which is the sober living program that resides here in Reynoldsburg. I go over and speak once a month at Summer Raise and during the week, because there are about 100 residents in Reynoldsburg, I run into several of the residents of this program, those who were formerly addicted to drugs and alcohol. And it breaks my heart to see over and over again men and women, young and old, who have reached milestones. Some are years sober, 2 years sober, some 5 years sober. And it just breaks my heart to hear they relapsed. Or even sadly, overdosed and died. But you see them. They look better. Some of these young people are 20 years old. They look like they're 70 and 80 because the drugs has just taken a toll on their bodies. And they live a year sober. They begin to get their youth back. And they're living in that freedom. But they go back. They want to go back to the slavery, and it breaks my heart. As a minister, it breaks my heart when I see church members who have long been living in the blessing of freedom in Christ, when they reject that freedom for mindsets and activities that feed the interests of the evil one, or when they choose to live in fear and anxiety rather than in peace and liberty. That's why do you want to go back to oppression? Why do you want to go back to Egypt? As a Christian, I am disappointed in myself when, after seeing all that God has done in my life, I embody the same lack of faith and trust that Israel lacked when they got to the Red Sea. So as I talk about the story of Israel, I'm not talking from a position of, I can't believe they did that, because I can believe they did that, because I do it all the time. We do love freedom, right? Sometimes we need to be reminded that freedom is better than oppression. Sometimes we need to be reminded why we love freedom. And sometimes the Lord uses his anointed ones to remind us that freedom, that in freedom, that there is taking when we place our faith and trust in the Lord, that freedom is this place that even in the face of oppression, even in the place of slavery, even in the face of threats, that God has our back, that God is our leader, that God is our protector, that God is our rescuer. That freedom is much better than oppression. Moses, the Lord's anointed one, stood before the people who would rather live in oppression than in freedom. The Lord was granting them, and through Moses, God assured them with these words. Sometimes God uses the anointed to remind us that freedom is better than slavery. The text says, but Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Be still. Be still. Be still. That's a phrase that we hear often throughout the story of the Hebrew Bible. Be still. Be still. I've told you several times that was a phrase uttered by my mother on numerous occasions. I mean, just when she's doing hair and she's using a hot comb and the babies are jumping, she's like, be still. And I mean, the whole neighborhood stopped. I mean, just be still. Just be still and watch what the Lord is about to do. Just be still and witness the marvel and marvel in God's power. Just be still. And don't bow down to fear, and just be still. Because freedom is on the way. And as delivered and freed people, we are able to live what's called a but now reality. The Israelites would often say, we were once subjects to Pharaoh, but now we serve Yahweh, the King of Kings. We were cornered at the Red Sea, but now we are walking on the other side, headed to the Promised Land. We were once slaves in Egypt, but now we are a people in our own land. You know, church, this is our story. We are a but now people. You see, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I had no hope, but now I live in the light of hope. I don't know exactly what your testimony is this morning, but I know some of you knew what it was like to be lost, but now you know what it's like being saved. I know that some of you lived in the suffocating way of addiction, but now you live in the freeing way of Christ Jesus. I know for some of you, or for some of us, we were used to living in such a way that we called the shots and we steered our own way. But now Jesus is Lord. And by God's amazing grace, he now leads us and he steers us and he moves us. This is living a but now reality, right, Beckham? Yeah. Me and Beckham got a dance we do together, so he's giving me his amen. And while we live in the but now reality, hear Moses as he spoke to Israel at the bank of the Red Sea. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Every Sunday morning for the past several months, I wake up, get myself ready, come downstairs, make a pot of coffee. I have an Amazon Echo. I don't know if any of you all have one of those, but it plays my music, and I shout out to Alexa. I say, "Hey, Alexa, play me some music." And every Sunday morning, Alexa gives me the same PlayStation or the same playlist. Alexa says, "Okay, here's a station you'll like. Gospel music to get your day started." And so I sit at the table and I'm drinking my coffee and I'm listening to some gospel music. And every Sunday, this one song always is played. There's a variety of other songs that are played, but this song is played every Sunday. It's a song by a gospel artist by the name of Travis Green called "Made a Way." Here are some of the words from that song. "Made a way. Don't know how, but you did it. Made a way. Standing here not knowing how we'll get through this test, but holding on to faith, you know that nothing can catch you by surprise. You got this figured out and you're watching us now, but when it looks as if we can't win, you wrap us in your arm and step in. And everything we need, you supply. You got this in control, and now we know that you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way." You see, people who have been freed from oppression know how to write songs of freedom. And so if you look at the songbook of Israel, if you look through the Psalms, you'll see that the Psalms contain songs of freedom. You'll see that the Psalms contain songs referring back to the Red Sea incident because they were people of freedom. We love freedom because on the other side of God's deliverance is that moment when we declare our freedom in passionate worship and in storytelling. We sing songs of freedom. Perhaps we could sing the song of Moses, Exodus chapter 15, verses 1-3. "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." Or maybe we could sing the song of Moses' sister Miriam, Exodus chapter 15, verse number 22. "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." Or maybe, just maybe, we take a position of stillness, declaring our faith and trust in God to deliver us by telling a simple story called our salvation story. That's the story when Jesus Christ delivered us from the burden of sin and freed us from shame, guilt, and freed us from our oppression. Glory be to God, and praise be to the mighty warrior of Israel, the God of this church, that he has given us freedom. And we love freedom. So be still. our stories, our collective stories, will always be stories the way that God has delivered us from tough circumstances, not as tough circumstances, but circumstances nonetheless. And there are moments that our backs were against the wall. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all ever get a bad diagnosis and your back is against the wall? It's often in those moments that faith informs us and we say to God, you know what, God, in the past, you made a way. You made a way for Israel to be freed from oppression. And you made a way for me to be freed from my oppression. And guess what? I believe that you're going to make a way again. And so in this moment, while my back is against the wall, I choose to be still. To be still. And to know that God will deliver. My message to you this morning is, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what situation has got your back against the wall. I don't know what situation has you feeling like something is pursuing you, and you're at the banks of a river, and there's no way to go. It's either death or death. It's either be crushed or be crushed, and you don't know what to do with that. I want you to hear the words of Moses right now. You have nothing to do but be still. Be still. Be still. And know that God is a mighty, he's going to get some glory. Just watch. Because if you read the rest of the story, you know that God parted that Red Sea and Israel walked on dry land. And the Egyptians were feeling pretty confident that they were about to get, because they were following in. But soon as Israel got on the other side and Egypt got on the dry land, the waters came and covered the Egyptians. And they got on the other side and they were free. And that's when they began to sing the song of Moses and the song of Miriam. And that's when they began to march and singing these songs of freedom. But again, the human condition got hold of them, because they got out in the wilderness and they started complaining. Another sermon, another day. Because that's what we do, isn't it? I talked about baptism a couple weeks ago, right? Talking about us revisiting that day when we came up out of the water and we were just, man, we were so geeked, man. We were so excited. We were ready to go transform the world. And it seems like every step we have taken away from our baptism, we get a little more relaxed and we forget about that moment. So listen, what I want you to do, I still want you to go back to that day where you got up out of that water and you remember what it felt like when God delivered you. And I want you to live in that but now reality. And let it inform you. Let it inform the way you act. Let it inform the way you speak. Let it inform the way you do life. Let it inform the way you parent and the way that you love your spouses. Let it inform the way that you love your brothers and sisters in church. Let it inform the way you love the people in your community. Let it inform the way that you worship. I live and worship in a but now reality. Because we love freedom, right? So if you love freedom, you rise up, you keep moving, you keep walking, you keep living in that but now reality, in this freedom. In just a second, the praise team will come and sing a song. I want you to join in and sing this song called, aptly named, Still. It's a song of confidence. It's a song of knowing that there is something that's lurking around that has the potential to be dangerous or hurtful, but still in those moments I'm gonna choose to be still. I pray that this song would be an encouragement to you. If right now you need for us to pray for you, we want you to be brave enough to come and ask for us to surround you and pray for you. If right now is the moment where you want to make a declaration of faith and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus with my whole life, my whole heart. Maybe you made that declaration years ago, you were baptized and you've just kind of gotten lax, but right now you want to make a recommitment to that. You can do that right now. Or maybe you want to make that commitment for the first time. You want to say, Jesus is Lord. He died for me. He came and he loves me. I love him. I want to make a statement of faith right now that he is my God. Jesus is my Lord. And I want to celebrate that. I want to seal this in baptism. You can do that. As we sing this song, if there's anything that the church can do for you by way of ministry or serving you, please come as we stand and sing this song.